order. And looks like we have everyone but Jack Minner that's here today.
Yeah, we don't have.
Yeah, I talked to him this weekend.
He was here today.
He was going to be here.
He was here this morning.
Do we have anyone here for public comment? And that motion approved the minutes from last month's meeting?
Still moved.
Second. I have one comment for the meeting minutes, if possible. Is on the meeting minutes, it doesn't say how we voted. Doesn't say like all yays or all nays. And I think most meetings tell you who voted yes, who voted no. I'd like to see that if possible, if you all don't mind.
Sounds good to me. Motion approved?
So moved.
Or all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And the purchase orders are going around. So we'll come back to that. So that brings us to purchases between $5,000 and $35,000.
Rob? We have three of them. One is out of GIS for a new GIS printer, large format printer. We govern that. It's been approved by Doug Hume already, so you see it's got his thing on, I think, which that'll be out of GIS. We have had to use Ace Tech for service, and the auditor wants us to have a purchase agreement with them so that we can use them again because we spent more than $5,000. So we're asking for 182 hours worth of service. We can carry it over for 3 years. Chris can talk to it more, Brett can talk to it more, Joe can talk to it more. They're very responsive, they help us out. It's cheaper to hire somebody and have them do some stuff for us than have somebody in-house that we don't need here full-time all the time. For instance, and if I talk too much, let me know. Right now we have one VLAN per floor. We'd like to have one VLAN per department, which would make us more secure. You want to talk to that?
Yeah, I mentioned this before to you guys. I'm sorry. Nicotine gum, try not to smoke. Writing new security policy and the new way that we have leads coming in and migrating different parts from leads over, there's not really enough time to do everything we need. So we do need to be able to contact people to help us in certain situations. Ace Tech was not my first choice to call. I called two other places. I called Worldwide. They were not responsive. I called Secure Data. Secure Data kept saying they were going to get back to me. 2 weeks went by, we were getting close to the end, didn't hear nothing from them. Called Ace Tech, and they immediately, I sent them an email Friday night, and Monday morning, they were saying, hey, we'll help you out.
And what kind of work? Is this networking, or just all kinds of
architecture, engineering when we need it?
I do. They do systems work as well.
Systems. They have a great brain trust. They've been through CJIS approved by the Sheriff's Department. Background check, all that kind of stuff. Normally, everybody but our department seems like if they need professional service for $2,000, they can go get it. For some reason, because we're IT, and we went over $5,000, not in one instance, but a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit more here, over $5,000, that triggered the auditor saying that we need to have a block of time purchased. So that's why we're doing this. And that's why they agreed that it'll be over 2 years there.
And do you have any work for them now, or is this just kind of having a contract that we can bill against?
It's having a contract that we can bill against. There is some stuff we'd like to use them for, like the VLANs.
The VLANs.
And they're good at training our folks, too. So whenever they come in, they don't just go and do stuff. They actually mentor Thomas, who is he started off as a PC technician. He's going to school, he's become a network technician, and because of working with them, he's really broadening his skill set. So it's a good thing, I believe.
And at VLAN? Virtual?
Yes. Okay. That looks Japanese.
Okay. The 24x7x4, instead of 4-hour response time, that is 4-hour tech on site.
if we need anything with them.
They'll have somebody. Backup. So what that was the other discussion point we had last time was, right?
That was on the Cisco switches. Under their block of hours, they agreed to, we have that block of hours. If we need them, we call them. They're on site in 4 hours.
But this is ACETEC, and how much is it? Is it depend on the job? Is
nope,
it an hourly?
It's just a block of hours that we can bill against.
And what is the amount to bill?
Up to 20,000, which would be 194 hours. But we're not going to spend 20,000 unless there's a catastrophic emergency.
So what's the billable hour? What's a billable rate?
110, I believe.
Yeah. Which is pretty affordable. It's a shame to me that I have to go and get something, but we did this before for $5,000, and I just don't want to have to come back every month and have a company come out and work for us and us always owe them $2,200, and then we can't pay them for 3 or 6 months.
I thought we did this a couple months ago, that we would hire the company and have them on backup as needed.
We did them for $5,000, and we went over $5,000.
Oh.
So we thought we'd do 10,000 possibly this year, maybe 10 next year, hopefully not. But we're not giving them money. This is just the ability for us to spend if we need to. Yeah.
Like a prepaid debit card. You may not spend it, but it's there if you need
it.
And so we're doing 180 hours.
Up to 180 hours.
Up to
180. And what's the dollar amount on that?
That would authorize us to spend up to $20,000 with them, if we need it. But if we don't need it, then we might spend
better
three.
Analogy, you're taking out a line of credit.
Yes. Yeah.
We may spend it, we may not.
But if you have projects, or larger projects, you'll still...
I would like to be able to farm it out to them instead of having to hire somebody full-time for work that we don't really need.
So will you use that just as, I guess my question is, so if there's a large project and you want to use a big chunk of that, will that still be something that we discuss, or you'll just be able to do it now that...
If you would like for me to talk with you, I have good communication with Jamie, and I can also talk to, I've always told Jamie, no surprises, I won't give money, I can also do. How this came about now is Madison City needed to join us for leads, and they knew they were joining us, so they turned off their T1 line. And then we had about 3 days to get them connected, and we did not have the skill set here to be able to do that because it required new architecture for the network coming in.
Wouldn't that be on Madison City to pay for?
You would think so, and that's...
Yeah, that's a whole another thing that needs to be addressed by, I don't know if it needs to be addressed by IT or by public safety, but yeah, we got 17 or 18 now, I guess, municipalities.
Yeah.
That are all using, have these routers and are using VPN to get into the county. And they have, my understanding is they have a hodgepodge of different routers at all these different sites. That it sounds like we gave them routers over the years to get them all connected, but now we have a situation where if they were down, we'd be in trouble, they would be in trouble.
Well, the expectation, though, is on you.
Of course,
exactly.
Yeah.
Because we've historically paid for it and hooked them up. So, but, like, if one of those went down, we'd have a real problem, you know, to get, you know, if one of these towns couldn't connect, it'd be a problem, then they'd be on us to fix it instantly.
And the lead system is used for?
That allows them to talk to the Illinois State Police and get the law enforcement data. And to save them money, they'd have to have a 10 meg fiber line. They connect to us, and then they go through us to the ISP.
Is this for 911 mainly?
No, it's just so that they can run whatever it is that police do in their database.
Plates, something like that.
They're looking for...
So they're basically using, all the municipalities are using the county as their hub, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
And they're not paying for it?
Well, they're paying $50 a month, I think, for a connection to us, which is cheaper than $500 for their own fiber.
So they pay $50 a month for usage?
$53,
is that? It's down to $28.70. Each one is $28.70.
So it went from $50 to $28.70. We won't go there yet.
Yeah. This is a bigger discussion, but we might as well have it.
Oh, my God.
So,
I used to be on public safety, and if I remember correctly, this was encouraged by the sheriff's department for better communication between the different departments, if I remember correctly.
Does he want to pay for it?
Well, what would an ideal situation, I mean, what is it costing us?
We're in the process of trying to figure that out. Right. Because whenever Madison needs a router, what do? You get them a router off the shelf, right?
Correct.
Which was past practice.
I did that once, the first
too.
Time.
Like, the routers they have are all used. They're several years old.
They don't have
no
service agreement on them either. So if they go down, they're not on.
And then let's talk about the ISA. We might as well. You know, me and Joe went to Chicago and went to a conference. So that we could address this, we don't have an ISA, which is an interconnect security agreement, with any of these that we can find. So we're responsible for them, but we have no agreement that we're responsible for them. And if they go down, then it's on us. So what we want to do is standardize them all and ask them to pay for them, which they probably don't have a lot of money. Some of these places, Venice, Madison, don't, you know, they don't have a lot of money, but yet they want to have service, and we want to be able to be good stewards of the public's tax dollars for Madison County, but we think they ought to pay their own freight too. So we're trying to develop that, but that's a bigger discussion.
So if I peel away the onion, I'd start with identifying what the costs are, right?
Yeah.
And then I'd set up what is the ideal infrastructure, and it would be consistent routers or
standard
service.
Yep.
And I would think you'd want the inner, you know, some kind of service agreement just from a risk perspective. But I would, who are the constituents involved, right? It's IT, it would be the sheriff probably, it sounds like, then all these municipalities. Is there anybody else in the county that's involved?
You have the sheriff's Captain Decker, who's responsible for New World, and then Leeds, he's also taken that on too. So he's kind of like the Spock for it. So he sets it up, and then Jeff Haney and him discuss it, and then they get with Joe and Brett and Chris and decide how to bring them in. And it used to be in the old world, they just brought them in, they ran through our network. And this, the new way that we did it, they're actually not going through. You want to discuss that?
Coming in the internet side, they're VPNing directly from the router to us, rather than they used Optimons, which was basically, from what I get from it, it's a plug-and-play type VPN. We're not looking, because of the cost, and if we're going to try to have the police departments pay for this, if that's what happens, we're not going to be going with Cisco. There's a MikroTik router that would be good for VPNs for these satellite stations that is, I think it's under $200 after installation, maybe $400. That block of time, though, they sell MikroTik, so if we buy MikroTiks from them, as long as we have blocks of hours, all installations free with them. There's a big difference between like $400 and $5,000. So that is why we're kind of going for the MikroTik route. It is a router that has been used.
Do you think it'd be wise to maybe pilot one for a few months, get it going? And
I'm not saying buy everything. This will be a step program.
This is August, September. Yeah. Time frame, because he wants to have a lab. He don't even have a lab yet.
Yeah. The way you should plan something like this, the way Madison City should have been done, you get in a room with everybody involved, all the stakeholders, talk about what you need, say what you can give them, see if IPs are matching up, go do your design plan, they do their side, You come back for another meeting, make sure everything matches up. Everything matches up is good to go. Then you have steps for your migration. Right. If you have leads, you check your leads with pilot users. Okay, everybody, like, if there's different departments in there, I don't know, if there's multiple places in a police station, but you check one from a car, check one from the office. That looks good. Then you do Regis, and then you do the next one. And then you plan on a day to migrate over, migrate leads, migrate Regis, and migrate your IWIN. Then
but,
when that's all
but
done.
They added Regis, so we were told it was just leads. But then it became Regis,
right.
IWIN, and a whole bunch of other stuff,
right.
too.
So when that's all done, then you say, this is my cutoff. We're good
and
to
and
go.
And what's interesting is they don't have New World, which really is the important reason for all these police departments to connect to us is to use New World. Right. Because we host that. But we're saving them money by letting them connect.
It just seems like a lot of the past has been like a wink and a handshake, how things are set up. When you actually have to sit down, no matter how small the city is, you have to plan your project, or it's just not going to go smooth, and it's going to cost more money. That's my opinion.
Is anybody on public safety?
I am. So how do we, if you have to buy the VPNs, I mean, are you talking 10? Are we talking 100? Or
we have a VPN. It's called NetMotion.
Right.
We already have a VPN. They're buying
the
routers.
The routers. Yeah. Okay. Are the routers?
We're also looking at grants. Do you want to tell them about that?
About what?
Grants.
Oh, yes. So, I am looking in for grants from the feds because this has to do with, could fall under Homeland Security.
Yeah.
Illinois doesn't have many grants, but the feds, it's harder to get them, but if you get them, it's a lot bigger money-wise. So I am looking to apply for grants and see if we can get something for that. And of course, if anything ticks up when I'm looking for that for networking, if it's something for the jail or the sheriff's, pass that on so they can apply for that grant. But I'm really trying to look for grants for IT here.
Do we have any grant writers, or is there somebody that can help?
Yeah, we've talked
have
with
you been
the
okay.
community.
What?
Yeah. Community development.
Okay.
I do have a few websites coming back to me from people actually do this, so I'll get ones I can look for grants on. I don't know how to write grants.
Well, I would think they'd be able to help.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure.
One thing I really want to make a statement about grants, though. When we get a big grant, and it's great, and we can use that for a lot of stuff during that year,
yeah.
It doesn't mean the next year we're going to have that grant.
That's right.
Because I'm afraid of, you have that for like 3 years, and then it's assumed it's going to happen all the time.
No.
You don't get it, and your budget is so low.
Well, then you put it, you make sure in an interconnect security agreement, there's some business terms in there that identify this is paid for by a grant and
okay.
You know, blah 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 blah.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that.
Do you talk to anybody from emergency management because they deal with Homeland Security all the time?
No, I haven't. You have a contact?
You're Todd Fulton.
Yeah,
Todd
but she's on maternity leave. That's the person who's going to write the grant.
Yeah.
But Todd Fulton should be able to help.
Yeah, but we have talked with Captain Decker about this too, okay. And actually Sheriff Lakin and Jeff Connor, we sat down and mentioned it. And they're used to Cisco's, which cost a lot more, so they wanted to know more information. So we're providing them that.
Do they think that we, as a county, should pay for all these routers for all these municipalities? Or
I didn't ask them that, but I pointed out that we just gave them one because they had to have one, and so we're loaning them one. And I've written the auditor and asked for a list, and I haven't gotten it back yet because I don't. That's a whole other thing we can talk about. Well, Chris, you want to talk about that? You've been awful quiet.
Oh, in terms of the auditor?
Yeah.
Well, equipment.
None
of it's asset tagged.
Well,
so
yeah,
we don't know.
If you go back in the server room and you look at all of our equipment, hardly any of it has any asset tags on it. Definitely none of the servers.
I thought we did the asset. Was that maybe just the computers?
It's probably just the computers, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we don't know what all they have at these places. He's got to remote into them and pull the numbers and find out what type they are. So I'm trying to find out from the auditor what we have so I know what's missing so that maybe we can narrow it down to where they are and what they've been given.
We bought an asset tracking system a couple years back.
Yeah. I wrote one for my kid's library at the Japanese language school for books for barcodes and access.
Did we? I can't remember that we did anything of that nature.
Timothy did that.
I'll look into it. I'll try and find out.
Yeah. I'm 99% sure we had an asset tracking, at least for the computers, but I thought I thought it was computers and then phones and...
But they're tagged by, the auditor comes down and puts a tag on one.
Yeah, see, there's an asset. You got a tag. Everything should have the serial code. It's just a matter of where it's kept. And I think the auditor was involved in that, too,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. But let's go back. So, and I didn't mean to derail.
That's okay.
I shouldn't have asked that first question, but... it would make sense to me to, just from a risk perspective, right, and a procedures perspective, to kind of have in place how this is handled, this whole situation. And it sounds like, is that it on the board? Is that you guys are trying to drive?
Yep.
Because I would question, you know, if there's an expectation that the county pays for it, and it's a service that we're actually offering to them, yet we don't have an agreement that you'd want to figure out how to formalize it.
Yeah, well, we've got an ISA that I've written, well, Joe wrote, and I've sent to Jeff Ezra, who's reviewing it, and I think I've sent you a copy of it. Joe's a brilliant writer. He could have a second career as a technical writer in addition to the systems.
Funny, my head's not going to fit out the door.
Okay.
All right. So we are working on it. We're also doing what's called COBIT 5, which is a framework you might be familiar with NIST. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're trying to create a security framework so that all our different policies fit into those. And it starts off with 53, which rolls into 60, which rolls into 90, which rolls into 171. And think of it as you're familiar with ISO, think of it as ISO for network security. It was developed by the Commerce Department, and it's what the federal government uses. So there's all these different controls, and we're heavily moving forward towards that.
So maybe you could break that down for I don't understand what you said. So
okay. Do you know what ISO is? So it's a standardization set of standards,
right.
And these are approved standards by the Department of Commerce for cybersecurity. And whenever we did the cybersecurity audit a year ago, it was NIST 800-171, and we scored pretty good on it, but we had outages, and I do not want to send it out, but if you'd like to sit down and look at it, I'd be more than happy to go over it with you. Our results were pretty good. But there's a lot of outages, some bad, and a lot of it's policy driven that we do not have policies. So that's what we've been working on is getting the policies so that we're compliant. The other is two-factor authentication, Banner, and those are the two easy ones. We have a one-year and two-year plan based on that, which I've shared with Jamie.
For a two-factor, you're going to like PKI cards or?
Well, we're talking with Converge One.
Yes, we're looking to get a proximity ID smart card solution all in one. I believe that would be multiple departments pitching in for that, correct?
It would have to be. It'd probably be a capital. But anyway, we're looking at that, and that's on the back page of what I sent you. So we're trying to build a framework so that we have policies. Everything's policy driven, should be, and that's what we're working towards.
It'd be better for you guys to make financial decisions too, because we see, well, policy will show what the level of risk is. The level of risk will show the amount of controls you need for that specific categorization, and the more controls you have, the more expensive things are. So that would help with explaining things, I believe. That's how most places decide what they're going to go with or what they're not going to go with, is on the risk matrix.
But then if we don't fulfill them in a reasonable amount of a time, is that an issue for Us?
You mean accepting risk?
Yes.
Everybody accepts risk. No matter how much money you spend, you are not going to 100% secure the network.
Never.
Going to a high... If you said this was high risk, high risk, high risk, and we need to completely secure it, it's still not going to be 100% secure.
The only way to fully secure anything would be to have it basically shut off.
Right.
That would be the only way.
I still wouldn't trust that.
Well, you couldn't do anything.
I still wouldn't trust
it.
Something can happen.
I'm just thinking of, you know, if we do an assessment and we know where our flaws are, but yet there's no money to fix it.
Well, it's...
And you've identified it.
Yes.
Then...
We can talk about that. The money needs to be spent on FireEye,
right.
Which we're going to put in next year, because right now we can't see east-west traffic, which was one of the things that was called out. Can you explain?
Yeah, basically...
We're just talking. I know we're off topic.
Sorry.
But you guys seem to want to hear, so...
Yeah, this would actually take everything, north-south traffic and east-west traffic. So if...
Now, pretend my father's sitting here. They don't know what you're talking about, what each traffic is.
Sorry, I get excited sometimes. Let's say somebody hacked her workstation, and they use her workstation to get to your workstation and your workstation. FireEye would be able to pick up that traffic east-west. It's not just looking at what's coming in and out of the network.
So whenever you draw a schematic, east and west is internal, north and south is external. So that's one of the things we need to do, but we know that we'll put that into 2019 as a capital. But it will replace Sophos, so it won't be a complete wash.
Right.
But it has more visibility and better tools.
And possibly the Barracuda.
And the Barracuda, that's another thing. And I know this is being... recorded, so we don't want to talk too much about security, but there is, we have room for improvement.
But I thought we were going to do the penetration test to find out where we lacked.
Yes.
I'm just trying to get numbers for y'all for a budget, when you plan your budget for the next fiscal year.
Okay. Okay.
So this would be, so circling back to this project at some point,
right.
I know that you have to pay for Madison because it's short term, Madison City because the short term nature of it. But the bigger picture, I would think, you want to build out the plan. And if I can help at all, or just a second set of eyes with Jamie, I'm happy to do that because that's what
I believe in over communicating. If you would like to be looped in as much as I am with Jamie, I have no problem doing that at all. Do you think,
absolutely, it'd be good to have her involved. I kind of think I'd like to be able. I don't know who it comes from, whether it's from us or from public safety or the sheriff or who it comes from. But I think we ought to give. I think letters should go out to those municipalities and say, tell them you're exposed. If you go down, you got a real expensive problem on your hands, or you can pay your share of getting these routers and a contract so that we have 24/7 response to get you up if you go down.
And if you want connection to this system that we manage for you, you need to sign this agreement.
Yeah. You're familiar with an ISA, I'm sure, right? So you could.
Oh yeah.
We don't have.
There's none.
Yeah.
Zero.
So that's the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night. And Joe, I get emails from Joe at 11:30, 12:00 at night. Look at this article.
So. Okay. Well, back to these four. Purchases. Any more discussion on these four?
So the GIS plotter, is that a new plotter,
yes.
A replacement plotter?
It's a replacement, and then what will happen is the old one will go down to EMA, and then that's what they do. They recycle.
And that's paid for, the GIS plotter?
GIS,
right?
Yes. And it was part of a capital project for it, too, funding.
Not that I would bring it up again or ask another question, but at some point, I know that we offer services to other municipalities that want to use the GIS, right? Mm-hmm. Does it make sense at some point to look at all these services that we provide to other municipalities?
Well, I do believe they pay for them. It does create revenue. It's the only place down here that does.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
I think they charge $7 a parcel or something to print a picture
up. And that covers the cost?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
company or else they raise it. But I can look into that, though. I mean, I'd be more than happy to find out. The Intradyne, is Andrew here?
I'm right here.
Okay, let me get out of the way so you can speak fine. To it.
Like I mentioned last committee meeting, at the behest of the committee, we went around and discussed the potential new mail archive with Intradyne with the other offices. Didn't really get a whole lot of feedback one way or the other, except from the judiciary, which Brett and I went and met with the chief judge and discussed the Intradyne solution, what it would mean as far as giving them complete control and access, the only control and access of their own particular mail archive. I communicated with the chief judge recently because he wanted some time to think about it and to discuss the solution with the other members of the judiciary. I visited with him last week, and he says he still has not yet had time to discuss it and asked if we could delay its implementation for the judiciary until he's had a time to discuss it with them. He said that he was fine with us taking it back to the committee because there are other offices, especially the county board office, which would like to go forward and beginning to implement Intradyne Mail Archive. So that's why we brought it back here. We're going to hold out on the rollout for the judiciary specifically, but assuming that we can get approval, I think we're good to move on with the Intradyne solution.
And how much is Intradyne?
I believe it's...
$7,000.
$2,000 is like the yearly maintenance for Intradyne, and then $5,000 is the cost to get it up.
And that's for everyone, or would it cost more once the judicial comes on board?
That's for it's just whole. For, it's going to be that, whether they sign on or not. Yeah.
Can you speak to it in terms, Lisa, may seem familiar. Intradyne is like written for Windows 10. Right. The Mail Store looks like it's Windows 3.1.
Sure, the interface on Mail Store is old, but I mean the real reason that we want to move to Intradyne, I think I mentioned this briefly the first time we brought it back, is Intradyne allows us to better reflect the balance of power in the county. Mail Store puts together, you know, all the mail in the county into one gigantic puddle, and we are not able to parse that out, separate it, and to basically, you know, lock out access for each elected office or department. Intradyne gives us the ability to do it, and it also just, it has better features associated with it as well. I'll give you an example that I'm excited about as the Madison County Board Administration FOIA officer, is I can redact in the program itself instead of having to go through and do email redactions like this for FOIA requests. I can do it electronically and by keyword search, so we're never going to have any type of liability issues for failing to redact a particular word.
And it has a social media aspect too, doesn't it?
It does. So something that is covered under the Freedom of Information Act request are any post that the county makes on one of its many Facebook pages. We haven't had any requests up until this point for, like, you know, Madison County Administration Facebook page X date. But if we did, and especially if it goes back a long time, that can be difficult to find. If we're going to utilize Intradyne's social media archive, that can all be pulled up with just a time frame search and delivered to the party that's looking to have it. So, yeah.
And I remember and understand what Intradyne did, and my question is, and I probably didn't make it clear, is that at this cost now, everyone else could come on board and it's no extra cost?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, Intradyne is not parsed out like by user cost or anything. Right. It's that flat $2,000 a year.
Okay. And then every department could be their own separate
for email. Unlimited users?
I don't. Go ahead.
At least licensed up to reasonably what we have. I think it's $1,000, or no, it's $1,200, I think, or something.
So it was pretty high. I know we weren't going to come close
to it. It won't,
yeah.
Like, for example, at a judiciary or anything like that, there'll be no additional financial impact.
Okay. And that for the sheriff's department and state's attorneys? There wouldn't be any extra cost.
No, we actually accounted for that with the original report.
And that sounds like they each have their own archive, so they're covered from their own security standpoint. Or
that's why we want to put them on their own VLAN, too. They'll be on their own VLAN with their own email archive. If they need help, Andrew can go and show them how to do it. He can sit down. He won't be able to do it from his computer. He'll have to go over there and get on that VLAN to actually at their archive.
Right, through one of their
through
user
one of their
accounts.
Computers.
I'm not sure if it would be technically to say they would all have their own mail archive, but they're going to be the only ones that can access their particular email that are in the archive.
Permissions
to those emails, if that makes sense.
Yeah. they'd be the only ones in the proper security groups to access that.
Right.
Well, so there's, so security groups, okay.
Yes.
Right. Thank
you.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Ann?
Yes.
Chrissy?
Yes.
Bruce?
Aye.
Lisa?
Yes.
And I say yes. Okay. And before we go any further, looks like everyone signed on the purchase orders. Can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
And any discussion? Ann?
Yes.
Chrissy?
Yes.
Bruce?
Aye.
Lisa?
Yes.
And I say yes. Okay. And staff reports, anything under staff reports?
I think we covered everything.
I think so.
Speak about yourself, tell your background.
Sure. My name is Brett Greenwell. As I told you guys earlier, graduate of Marquette Catholic High School in 2012.
We won't hold that against you.
What's that?
Mike Walters?
That's
my God.
I graduated from Lewis and Clark 2014.
I graduated from there, too.
Graduated from Western Governors University with my bachelor's degree in 2017. Before I worked here, worked for New Motion and Hazelwood Wheelchair Company. Before that, I worked for RDC Casino, always been in the IT department. Just continuing to learn. I eventually want to go back and get my master's degree in information technology management. So I'm really happy to be here. It's been a great place to work, and everybody here is great to work with. So thank
Excellent.
You very much.
Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
I have one thing, but Chris gets credit for this. Chris was able to find out that we had $4,240 in unclaimed assets from CDW. So we got a check from them that went back to the general fund.
For how much?
$4,240.
Nice.
Good.
Okay. Is that all for staff reports?
Yeah.
Any old business?
I do.
Okay.
I assume we can, yeah. Actually, I have some questions about the trip and some concerns. And I will keep them to a minimal point. Since AM on finance, is that your conference meeting, you're at a total now of 7,153. That's a little bit over budget, but your training, I would have thought your training and your...
I'm just asking if we want
to... Should this be an executive session?
That's up to you all.
What's it related to?
Just
personnel?
Travel.
That's expenses. Not a topic for executive session. Travel's not a topic for executive session.
It's not.
Personnel is, if you think it's a personnel issue.
I don't think it is.
Okay. I don't either, but that's my opinion. That's my opinion. So, from what I know from finance and the budget, I thought this part of your budget would have been cut more, but it was not. Oversight on my part. That your travel is now, you were 11,000 last year, you're at 12,000 already this year, and 7,000 in conference fees. My concern is partly with credit card use and your travel. And my biggest concern is I would like to see you do a little better at, you missed a government discount for the conference.
How did we miss a government discount?
That you did not apply for. You would have saved, I do believe, $700 and something.
Okay. Well, I didn't see this, but we did get a discount because of $250 because we're ISACA members.
I understand.
So we would have only saved $100 each, so it would have been $200.
$700 total. You're saying it was $400 you saved?
we saved 250, I believe. Did we save 250 by being Osaka members?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, it might have been 350 too. I don't know.
So you need to try and do everything you can for the taxpayers.
We do.
A little bit more due diligence.
Okay.
And then, as you know, I've had problems, and some of the finance committee members had, with the travel, that it was a bit excessive. I understand your conferences are expensive, and I understand that. But when conferences, when you estimate your travel to be roughly $7,500, and you come in and submit at $10,000, that's a large difference for what you thought your travel expenses would be. And then had to, you took two cars. And again, not only you, I say this to every department when it comes to travel, as I did in the budget meetings, to every department. We need to keep travel. The budget's going to be tight. We need to watch our travel and do things as economically as possible. So I would hope that from your department, you have had some difficulties with the credit card. Again, the department head prior to you did not. That was.
What are the difficulties with the credit card?
And it's a learning process. What I'm asking for, I'm just bringing it to your attention. I'm going to go to, I haven't figured out what committee it goes to get a credit card policy more throughout the county that everyone follows. And I can tell you what those were. That was in Springfield, you booked your hotel and at a higher rate than what it was set for a government conference, that the government rate would cover. In San Antonio, the GSA rate for per diem rates were lower, and you just...
Well, okay, can I speak?
I'm not finished yet.
Okay.
So, and Denver, I don't think there was any real issue in that. And some of this, as I know, and you know that in Collinsville, we were so concerned about credit card issues and spending. And I know you were too. So for you and I, this is something I thought you would be more educated about. And be more, do your due diligence more. So that's just some of my concerns. And I want to use it as a learning experience and try and do the best we can to take care of the taxpayers.
Well, I can honestly tell you that I try to do the best I can to take care of the taxpayer. So whenever we only have a limited amount of money and we gotta get the most bang for our buck whenever we go to travel. I do not like to travel, but I have to as part of my job to learn new stuff. And I really do not like being away from my family. It's not a vacation. It's not pleasant spending the last weekend in April sitting in a room studying from 9 o'clock in the morning till 5. But it's something that's required. Whenever you look at a conference and it has the hotel rate according to the travel policy, and maybe that needs to be revised, you're supposed to go by the travel policy guidelines at whatever the hotel rate is, or else the auditor will flag it and go yes. So if the conference rate is more than the GFO rate, GFOA rate, or the government
GSA
rate, then I don't know if we can get in or not. You know, I go by the conference rate. But now, based on what you're telling me, I will check the GSA rate to see if it's available at a lower rate than the conference rate. And then if it's not, then we decide not to go. Secondly, we need to send people to places to learn stuff because this technology changes all the time. And I can't tell you, and I think Joe would agree, that conference we went to was every bit worth the $10,000, although it wasn't. We took two cars because my father's ill, and I didn't want him being stranded, and I wanted to be able to come home if I needed to. I was hoping I wouldn't have to. Thank God I didn't. We billed the county for one car going up, one car going back a piece. So we split the cost. So
but
we are
first
trying
you build
to be,
the county.
First I did.
Yes, for and, two cars.
Yes, and okay. then I resubmitted it. Right. And anytime we try and get something, we are so cost conscious. It's too bad Tom is sitting here. Do you want to tell them the conversation about the $11 and in tax?
Yeah, we had to buy a fiber testing tool to actually, because we're working on connecting the TEG aisle to the storage system. And Thomas went over to a micro center over in Brentwood. He bought it, and honest mistake, we just didn't get the tax off of it. So now the auditor doesn't want to actually pay that because the tax is on it. But in order to go back to micro center and then come back, it's going to take an employee to drive out there. Come all the way back just to save $11. So it might cost $50-$60 to save $11.
Time wise,
I work in Brentwood. I'll get it for you.
Yeah, but it's, we do. We do. We would not be as good a team as we are if we weren't all committed to realizing our number one customer is the Madison County taxpayer, and then we support the people that work for them, all the various departments.
Do we have travel policy in place?
We do have a travel policy that's
up
there.
Through who and where?
Here's the thing, though, is when you go to the auditor, you get one version of it, and when you ask an employee for it, you get another version of it, and there doesn't seem to be a central place where these are stored that employees can get to them so they know what is the definitive version of the policy.
I think credit card use should be kept to a minimum, that everyone and their brother does not have a credit card. So, and I know that's, there are a fair amount in the county. And I will look at that as whole also, because that's my concern.
What I'd like to see is this county get away from the card that they have, the type of card they have now where the bill goes to the auditor's office. You know, yes. My company, I have a corporate Amex, the bill comes to my house when I go on a trip, and I'm going on one Wednesday to California, and it's going to be wonderful. It's not going to be a painful trip at all. But when I come back from that trip, I assemble my receipts and I submit an expense report, and they pay me back, and I pay the Amex bill myself. And so it would get rid of these questions about someone bought a beer or something, and it would just eliminate all that. And I'd like the county to go to something the corporations go to.
I think we need to find, we have to have a centralized travel policy and a credit card spending. I'm the same way, and I'm going to go to La Jolla. I'm following, or he's following me tomorrow, and I'll use my credit card, but I get the bill. I buy stuff on there. I have dinner. If I have a glass of wine, I bill them, my company. If I have two, I pay for it myself, but I separate it out. So it comes to me to decide. And I think that you have to have that. If people are traveling, you are in a conference, it's no fun, 9 to 5. And I think we just have to have set procedures in place and then follow them.
And I respectfully understand that, you know, your conferences aren't bad. And I go to conferences and have to have CEUs. I have to sign in the morning for each hour, or I don't get the credits. I have to come up with so many hours every 2 years to maintain my certifications, as I'm sure you all do. But I have to sign in. They're hip to us going and not coming and going to a nice place. Most of our conferences are in beautiful places. And then going and never showing up at the conference and get CUs. That doesn't work anymore.
Right.
You have to sign in and multiple times. So it's not that I can go there and not go to the conference at all.
Well, and I think the issue, I think there's a lot of gray here. So to me, the way to rectify this for everybody in the county is to put a process in place, a travel policy that's centralized, that the auditor has access to and the department heads have access to. And, you know, when I go out, I tell my boss, here's my estimate, you know, it's $3,000, and if something happens, I usually send them a note, say I'm going to be 10% over. If I'm more than that, there's going to be questions. But there's always some give and take. Right? So, but until you have a policy in place that everybody understands.
I just, again.
I was told you know, don't leave Illinois. I'm very fortunate that that conference was in Chicago. There's another one in Vegas. I would love for Joe to be able to go and Thomas to be able to go, and it's for CSX. And
well, why not?
Well, you know what? If I get to see, I guess, and not me, obviously, I'm not the one in charge. Because Vegas has
a reputation.
A reputation.
In my industry, of where all the industry standard events are handled. And I, you know what? I'm sorry. If they stay up all night and or I stay up all night, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm in the conference from 9 to 5. So I guess my question is if there's we've got some new folks who I think training is important. I think lifelong learning is important, and they should be able to go. It doesn't matter where it is, with the exception of ungodly places. It's cheap to fly to Las Vegas.
That's
probably
why the conferences are held there.
They don't tend to have conferences in Des Moines.
I just got back from New Orleans for my conference. I'm still asleep.
The reason they have conferences there, the hotel rooms are cheap.
I was on the housing.
Airlines are cheap, and it's very close to Silicon Valley. That's why it's a cheap conference.
Here's what I would like to see from a committee standpoint. And if there's training that you think is valuable, that one page, here's the training, here's where it is, here's the cost, here's why we need it. What's the justification for it?
I call Jamie and tell him I'm thinking about this, and then I take it to the chairman and get
that's
his
fine.
Approval.
I'm fine with that, too.
And if you'd like, I can write y'all and tell you and justify it to you. You can look, and Jamie sent an email from me about what we got out of Chicago.
I was getting texts and emails from Rob when he was up there, and another question was asked why we had to send two people. The way these IT conferences work, and I've been to a lot of them, and this one had seven tracks, and what that means is at any one time you can have seven different presentations going on in different rooms, and so you know. Rob could be going one track, and Joe could be going another, but you can't hit them. You can't hit all the presentations. One person can't do it. Even two people probably can't do it. But you have to decide, you know, what track of information you're on. So that's why they would go.
And you can't pick up information from another track. They don't have CD-ROMs
I sat in a class like at SIU and listened to a guy talk for 8 hours each day.
I do too.
And mine was on cybersecurity. Joe's was on risk, which are...
And I downloaded absolutely every PDF that was free from them.
Before we left, so we knew the material.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've been reading on my weekends, because I'm a nerd. Vegas is going to be wasted on me, to be honest.
And it's not so much that, is that IT, you know, did a large amount of travel last year. $11,000. Most of the other... Again, I do the global. I don't look just at IT or this and that. And the conference travel and other areas, they all have CEUs and need education, and they're going to say that their education is just as important as yours.
I'm sure it is for their industry.
But we have to watch costs. And again, travel costs are probably going to be one of the other things cut again next year. And it's just...
And my department in travel and training was increased. I lowered this budget for this department by $500,000, and the only thing I increased was travel and training, because I knew that I had to have people that are competent and up with current standards, and they need to be able to be trained.
I run an IT department with 27 employees right now, and my travel budget is much higher than $11,000. We travel people for...
I spend more than that.
And this is, you know, I don't travel people to consult. That's not. That's just for training purposes, really. We send people to these kinds of things.
If we don't spend it in travel and training, we're going to be spending it in networking services and other services, contractual services for them to come in and do it for us. I mean, it's.
My field doesn't quite change as much as yours, and I understand that, and I'm trying to understand.
Well, and I'm not sure, you know, it's not only change, but I think in the current circumstances that we're in, right, it's just the whole staff has turned over and we've got
new people.
Yeah. And the salaries are less.
And I would say something, and well,
We get it. I mean, I think okay. You get it.
You get it. It's not for everyone too. But again, so I'd like you to do a little better due diligence. You know, when you submitted it in two different spots at 2,500 and 2,500 separate months. If it had come in at 5,000, it would have went to a committee.
Okay, I don't know how that happened or why it happened. I bought his, then I know, I guess I know how that happened. I bought his, and then I bought mine, and then mine didn't update whenever, because I was sitting in the secure conference room, and I lost Wi-Fi, and I didn't realize it didn't update, and then I found out, so I had to go back and buy it. So that's why, like, a week later I bought it. So maybe it's on a different billing cycle then, is the only thing I can figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but me and Joe sat in here and went over the tracks together. I'm taking this one, you're taking that one.
I ended up leaving because it was taking them too long.
IT guys have those kind of problems.
Right.
Yeah. Your Wi-Fi goes down too.
Yeah, all right. But anyway, so again, I'd rather be upfront and at least discuss it here.
Sure.
And let you know to do your due diligence better. Be careful with your credit card. Try and do as much as you can, as I have with every area. Okay?
Two of the conferences we went to last year, we're in St. Louis this year, GFOA and GEMIS, and it would be wonderful if you guys all went to St. Louis to see the GEMIS conference. That's the Government Management Information Systems. It's in August, I think. Is that about right? Is it August? August or October.
What is it?
GEMIS, Government Management Information Systems. That's being held in St. Louis.
Or September.
September, possibly. But
and I would go to that conference. Why?
To learn about Government Management Information Systems. They have different speakers talk about different stuff. Like for one of the best, and I've been...
You get to stay at the Four Seasons.
Sure, hey, just put it on
the call. I want to give you an idea. Some stuff's all technical. Some stuff is just absolutely riveting. I heard a guy speak, and he was in charge of Ferguson, and he was their network security guy. And whenever they had all the bad stuff going on over there, he talked about how all that happened. First thing they did was they locked down everybody's account, the mayor's social security number, all that kind of stuff. And then how they were picking up intel from Facebook and tracking where the mobs were going. And stuff. It's really interesting. And then you hear also about ones, how to stop malware. So you just different speakers speak on different topics. That conference was not like this. The reason the one that we went to was so expensive was because we went to a conference, but we also went and took courses beforehand, two schools, basically. But the GEMIS would probably be interesting.
Is that both business and technical tracks? Or is it just pure technical?
The GEMIS here, it's all tech.
All tech.
Yeah, just for, and then you have directors from Don DuPage, Don Carlson, who's from DuPage. I've gotten to know him from going there, and he's kind of a mentor towards me, because he has a big county up there in the collar counties, and I can call him up and speak to him, and I actually told him, saw him on the elevator and told him, you know, I downloaded a lot of your stuff from your website, because you guys have your risk assessment and stuff. And he's like, really? And so that's how I got to get to know him. But so part of it's networking, but it's not networking, social networking. It's professional.
And I understand. And why me not going is because, A, I'm a short timer. And I'd rather just go to anesthesia conference that benefit my profession.
Yeah, sure.
Where I make my money.
Yeah.
So I don't have the need, or will not have the need later for this. But thank you.
Yeah, I thought maybe you just might want to walk through, you know, if you're free.
Just a note, I don't want a company credit card.
I don't want you to have one.
I don't want to have anything to do with that.
I don't want people to have them. I mean, I know there are a need and a purchase, a need to purchase some things, but I see in many communities and many municipalities, and I can use Collinsville as an example, that they had difficulties and trouble and overspending and fraud, possibly. with that occurrence.
I just want to be able to email someone that has one and have them do it.
So, that's fine.
We try and go through purchasing as much as possible.
Okay.
But we'll try and do better.
Thank you.
Any new business?
July. We tried to get everything ready for tonight because the most important person didn't know me. I'm going to be out of town on my annual summer vacation, and Chris is unavailable. So we have everything we believe for this meeting that we may not need to have one in July. You can have one if you want. I was told in the past that if they didn't have anything on the agenda, Trisha's been around here a lot longer. Typically, they don't have meetings in July. Is that a fair?
There were just a few months, like if something, if we didn't have anything and people
correct.
Weren't going to be available,
we
then they would just cancel them.
We've had that happen before.
Yeah.
So no need for a July meeting unless it be an emergency or something that came up?
Something pops up, I'll be around here.
Same
I don't have a life.
But we got everything through, so there shouldn't be any need for one.
Okay. So delete it. July 9th?
Right. Perfect. I hope you have a wonderful vacation.
This is June already.
It's either I go to Japan or I go to Stillville. That way, nobody can get a hold of me. So I can actually stop working and relax. So I'll be laid in the river.
There you go.
Otherwise, there's no cell phone service. Otherwise,
Stillville, that's where Jack Manor's from.
Yeah. Well,
Stillville.
I
think so.
Yeah.
It's on the other side of the river, but it's down there.
We go for 10 days every summer.
No executive session. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa.
And like I said, you know.